The Lord's presence has been so rich, and from the very first of our early service today, and so we need His presence. And we have the promise of His presence with us always, but He loves us so much at times that He just lets us know in special ways He's here. We know that always by faith, or we should, but we love it when His presence is manifest. You know, with Him all things are possible. Whatever facing this morning, because He is here and He is with you, all things are possible. I do, before I step into the Word for today, encourage you to pray for the family of Janet Alexander. Janet, earlier today, stepped into the presence of our Lord Jesus, and we will miss our precious sister here at Grace House, and you'll want to pray for her family, for Clyde, for James, Jennifer, and the entire family. And also, Kane Cooper's dad left this walk of life this past week, and you'll want to remember to pray for Kane, Candace, their family as well. Lord, You said in Your Word we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And Lord, in our lives, we usually have people we know that are experiencing one of those. And often, Lord, we realize that You're the only one that can give what is needed in those moments, truly. And we thank You that You are Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. Thank You for Your presence here with us today. And Lord, we believe that when Your Word is preached, that You attend, You superintend Your Word by Your Spirit. So I pray, Lord, as Your Word is unfolded here today, the Holy Spirit would indeed be our teacher. I pray that any and every way that our humanity and even those servants of the enemy, Lord, any way that they would try to distract or take away from what You desire to deposit today, we decree and declare that the truth of Your Word will fall on good soil in our hearts this morning and bring forth its intended purpose. So we bless You for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. As we open up God's Word this morning, here's what we're aiming at. I am praying that we'll all get a deeper realization and revelation of the fact that God's perfect love will deliver us from our unhealthy fears. And we find this truth in 1 John chapter 4, particularly. We're going to be looking there. I want to talk to you this morning about facing your fears. Facing your fears. Sometimes we become the servant of our fears. We can become enslaved by our fears. We can become controlled, even manipulated, and certainly deceived by our fears. And I'm speaking of unhealthy fears. There's a very healthy fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's to know that one day we will have to stand before Holy God and give an account of our lives should instill within us a reverential fear and awe of who He is, the one to whom we must give an account. So that's a good kind of fear. I mean, that's the starting point for the human life, the beginning of learning what really matters, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. But then there's unhealthy fears of many kinds, and I'm going to be talking about that this morning. But first, let's see what God's Word says in 1 John chapter 4. I love that whole chapter. It begins with us being told that we should be discerning, to try the spirits, to discern them. We're told that there is a spirit of Antichrist that's already in the world, not waiting for it, it's here. We're also told there is a spirit of error and a spirit of truth. And John gives us a lot of info there about the Father, His love, about the Son, His redemption, and about the Spirit. All of that's there. But over and over, he magnifies the love of God. We're told it's perfect. We're told it identifies those that really know God. We're told it's a way that we can know that we're rightly relating to God when we're loving one another. But we're also told that it is the nemesis of fear. The fear that would harm us, the fear that would wrong us, the fear that would enslave us, has to bow the knee to the perfect love of God. There's such power in a revelation of God's love, to know that you are loved fully, completely, unconditionally. There's something about really knowing, and I'm talking beyond the intellect. I'm talking about the incarnational revelation, awareness, the deep knowing that you are loved by the one who made you, that you are loved by the one that you will give an account to. Not only that you are loved, but you are loved with a perfecting love, a love that's complete. There's no bare spots in it, no blind spots in it. In our humanity, we try to love completely and fully, but we have a lot of stuff that gets in the way. We have hindrances in our life that interfere with our being able to give love and receive love in the way that we were created to. And the devil uses fear. Our humanity capitulates to this fear, and barriers are created in how we perceive, how we make our decisions, how we relate to people, because of that fear. But the antidote to that is the perfect love of God. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to step in beginning at verse 17. It says here, John writing, the aged apostle John says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Pause. Understand what he's just said. He's saying that when we understand the revelation of love, how much we're loved, and when we come to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit comes to live within us and sheds abroad in our heart the love of God, when we give way to that love, when we make room for that love to do its work, we have a confidence that's built into us that knows, if I die today and stand before holy God, I'm going to be welcomed. I'm going to be accepted. You can have assurance of that. And that's so important. That's what he means. He says that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. The sad note is for those who will, in that day, stand before God that don't know Jesus, never got the revelation of what God did for them, and the greatest manifestation of the love of God known to man was manifested through the cross of Christ. And that's the heart of the gospel message. For God so loved us that He gave His Son. You got saved because God loved you. He sent His Son because He loved you. Jesus came because of His obedience and love for the Father, the love that's, God is love, and so the communion of the Father, Son, and the Spirit is, I mean, they're existing in an ocean of love, and that's too small a term for it. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. It's amazing to think of the fact that when you came to know God through faith in His Son, something of the essence of who He is, God is love, something of the essence of who He is was imparted to you, shed abroad in you. You received something you did not have previously. It came from Him, and it's now part of who you are. That's what John is saying. As He is, so are we in this world. That's the reason if you know God, folks know you love them. God is love. I'm not talking about the cotton candy fluffy love, here for a moment, then gone. It's good and goosebumpy for a moment, but then it's gone. I'm not talking about a fleeting, flighting type of love. I'm talking about a steadfast, committed, I'm going the distance for you. I've gave everything for you. I'm not giving up on you. No matter what you do, my love's aiming right at you. I'm here to say to the best among us and the worst among us, there's not enough difference between those two groups to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, how deep you've dove into the quagmire of sin, God loves you. He loves you because He is love. He doesn't love you because you're lovable. He loves you because He is love. That's who He is, so that's what He does. And that's who He desires to be to you and known by you. Known for His love. So important. John goes on to say, verse 18, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. This kind of love about which I'm speaking this morning is fearless. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, that love that is teleon, that is complete, it's full. That love, that perfect love, it casts out fear because fear involves torment. Now put that together. God is love. He, as He is, so are you in this world. You're to manifest His love. And there's no fear in the kind of love that God has. It's fearless. So if you're tormented by fear this morning, that's not what God desires for you. His love given you is given you to extricate that fear, to liberate you from that fear. The perfect love completes. The fear that this speaks of always takes away because behind it is the thief who kills, who steals, who destroys. But the perfect love completes, it builds, it edifies, it makes whole, it heals. John says fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, don't get under condemnation when you hear that. Hear what it's really saying. Love is ready to help you get rid of your fear. Love is waiting to help you be made more perfect, more complete, more whole, more full. The nature of fear is to make you feel that you need to be punished, to make you fearful, to live in dread, to be tormented. That is not what God wants for anyone in this room. The reason Jesus hasn't come back is because God wants everybody to be saved, to know this love, to be set free from this fear, and then to manifest who He is to the world by living out this love. He says that he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. This was God's idea. God took the initiative in the love relationship that you as a believer now have with Him. He made the first move. Before you were ever born, He put a plan in motion. Before any of us in this room were ever here, Jesus had already been here, had already bore our sin, had already died for us. God was already loving on us before we were ever here to be loved on. That's the depth and scope and reach of this love. You may not like it, but that's not going to keep Him from loving you. You may not believe it, but that's not going to keep Him from loving you. He loves you tenaciously. His love is going to pursue you. And if you'll let it have its way, He'll deliver you from fear, and you'll live in a greater measure of victory. Let His perfect love make you who He designed and who He desires you to be. Now, let me also say right up front, most of us have to deal with fear issues. And certainly, all of us here, if we're completely honest, we'll admit there's times we've really have capitulated to fear. We've been under the boot of fear, and we've been dealt a dirty blow by fear in some way. We have to learn to face our fears. This word fear here in 1 John chapter 4, the Greek word is phobio. It's also in other places it occurs as phobia. We get the word phobia. It's like the lady who had fear issues who went to the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got phobia. She was afraid of giants. Okay. All right. This word phobia, the Greek word, here's the combination of meanings that you find around this. Phobia, to fear, to withdraw from. And that it's that kind of the body reaction to fear. The other day I was walking in the driveway and there was a snake, and my first reaction was, that's the reaction of fear, to withdraw, to separate, to remove oneself from, to avoid. And fear creates these kind of behaviors in our life, and sometimes they're healthy, like, I don't think I'll step on that rattlesnake. You know? It wasn't, that was a rat snake the other day, but you get the point. That's got its place. But what if you then, like, I'm not going outside ever again, I might see a snake. When you go to bed at night, what if a snake comes in the house? Like, I don't know if I can get in the car. What if a snake's got up in there? I mean, you can be controlled by that encounter with a snake, and it can cause you to avoid things you need to be doing. You need to be doing things that are good for you, that are wholesome for you. You withdraw, you avoid, you separate. That's fear. Fear. And the enemy does his trade so often with the currency of fear. And you can see there that it means to feel without sufficient resources, to flee due to feeling inadequate, withdraw in a sense of separating from, and so forth, all of this. So these unhealthy fears can cause us to move away from what God wants us to move toward. These unhealthy fears can cause us to refrain or hold back or withdraw from things we need to be doing to fulfill our daily obligations, to live the kind of life that we were put here on earth to live. There's all kinds of fear. One man had a fear of elevators, and he took steps all through his life to avoid the elevator. I think y'all got a fear of laughter or something. Or maybe I'm just deceived to think I'm being funny up here. Maybe that's what it is. But seriously, fear is no joking matter. As a child, and I've shared this a few times throughout the years, I was literally tormented in the night season for years. It, as a result of having seen a Class B horror movie at a drive-in theater when I was like 4 or 5 years old. It was a terrible movie about a serial killer, very graphic, bloody, violent. And I remember just being terrified. I curled up in a fetal position in the back seat and finally went to sleep. Starting that night, I had nightmares for years. I would wake up in the night and I would see all kind of things in the room. It wasn't my imagination. I know some of it may be due to my gifting and calling in the warfare, but it was constant. I would scream out at night. And, of course, my parents it was more ignorance, not being aware of what might happen as a result of that and even what was going on. But I was literally tormented and terrified by the things that I would see and the nightmares that I would have. And I thank God for setting me free from all of that. But what I'm saying is I have experienced that torment. And it's very discomforting. And again, it can steal your night's sleep. It can create all kinds of anxiety in your life. And the Bible tells us the answer is a revelation of God's love. It casts out fear. And as I grew older and I came to know the Lord and I dove into the Scriptures and I began to get teaching and revelation about it, then I realized, oh, that's the thief trying to steal my destiny from me. You know, if the enemy can make us afraid of him, then we're not going to take ground from him. That's one thing. If he can convince us he's not real, then we're not going to try to take ground either. So he comes at different ways. But a lot of times he comes full bore on with some type of fear that shuts us down. It paralyzes us. It's a wrong kind of fear, an unhealthy fear. So let me begin to share some things about this, and we'll work through this pretty quickly. The first thing I want to encourage you to do, for those of you that may be struggling with some type of fear, and you know, hey, it's really an issue in my life. I get too anxious about this, or I find myself avoiding or withdrawing from this. I find myself holding back from what God wants me to do, and so forth. First thing, pray and turn the light on. What do I mean by that? Well, think about being in a dark room and you flip the switch on the light, and now all of a sudden you're seeing things you couldn't see before. What I mean by pray is get along with God, be humble about it, and be honest. And what you want to do is say, Lord, I know you know all this, but I need to have this conversation. I'm struggling with fear. I need to know how to deal with this. I need to know the root, the source, the cause. Help me see what I need to see so that I can be freed from this. That is his heart for you. He does not want you to be tormented. And torment can come in different fashions as well. Very distracting. Takes you away from what you should be focusing on. It keeps you in a hyper alert stage, a fear, a dread. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But so you got to pray, get along with God, kind of quieten the distractions, and just be honest with him about what's going on. Say, Lord, I need you to give me a revelation to see what is going on with this fear in my life. And you need to pray for a revelation of the bold love of God that gives you confidence to face that fear, to confront that fear. Something has to happen to move you from a place of being hunkered down and withdrawn, avoidance behavior, or in anxiety type behaviors. Something's got to happen that can propel you to take that first step to face that fear. Let's say, and it's true for a number of people probably in the past, you've been in a car accident, maybe a bad car wreck, or you've had some kind of accident at work. But let's leave it to like a car accident. And you finally get healed and go through rehab and everything. When you first get back in that vehicle and put your hands on the wheel, there's something you have to overcome. Why? Because you've just gone through a lot of pain as a result of having that car accident. So what is it that usually propels people? Well, because, you know, it's a necessity. If I'm going to go where I need to go, I've got to confront this. I've got to face it. We need to have that same kind of step forward in other areas of our life where we're struggling with fear. Because the enemy will convince you to just ignore it and avoid it while he continues to use it to get you to ignore things you shouldn't ignore and avoid things you shouldn't avoid. It's reproducing itself in your life in that way. Because he's a copycat. He takes the things of how God works in the realm of the Spirit, and he mirrors that in a perverse way. So pray and turn the light on so that you can get an idea of what's happening. Now, the second thing, then you've got to identify the snakes. I started to put cockroaches, but snakes is more biblically in tune. When you turn the light on, you know, that's when the cockroaches scatter, right? So, but what we're doing is we want to look for the snakes. Okay, what am I talking about? Things the enemy has been working through in your life, and it's usually going to be like lies you've believed about you, lies you've believed about God or lies you're believing about what other people think about you. Lies. There's deception in that. And that's a snake. Or it could be some area where you've gone through some very painful events, some type of trauma. Or you've had to work through some type of loss in your life. In our vulnerable areas of our life, and the things we go through in life that where we're vulnerable, where we feel helpless, where we're deeply hurt, that's the thing the enemy aims at. Because he's such a coward. There's no empathy from him at all, no compassion. He just, you're the weak wildebeest in the herd, and he's the lion looking for lunch. That's how he looks at it. But Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, wants us to know he's our great high priest, invites us into the throne room of grace to get grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I mean, when you get to thinking about the two people you're serving, one or the other, it's a pretty clear choice you should make. But fear and deception in these things can blind us to the reality of that. So we got to identify the snakes. We pray, flip the light on. Okay, Lord, illuminate things. Let me see. Let me see where the enemy's got a stronghold in the way I think. Help me see that lie I may be believing. Help me see that thing I'm embracing I need to let go of, or that thing that I won't touch that I need to take hold of. Lord, help me identify these areas. And this is just having a conversation with God and being honest. But he meets us there. He says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. We try to make prayer this big, fancy theological exercise where you've got to know the right words and you've got to have memorized at least half of the book of Ezekiel and all this kind of stuff. But no, prayer is talking to God, being gut-level honest with God and getting in his word and letting him talk to you through his word and learning to hear his Holy Spirit. That's just like in a marriage, if you and your spouse are not talking, you know, you may be married, but what kind of marriage are you? You're not having the marriage you could have. There's no intimacy there. And that's where it takes the honesty and the conversing. And in our relationship with the Lord, it's much the same way. You can know your spouse really well, but never to the extent that God knows you. And yet he's already screaming. Maybe that would be a wrong way to phrase it. He, with volume up, he is saying to you, I want you to know, I know everything about you, and I love you fully. And he doesn't want you to interpret that to mean, that means I can just do anything I want, it doesn't matter. That's not what it means. He's not saying, it doesn't matter to me that you're doing those things that I don't like. He's not saying that. He's just saying, it doesn't matter what you're doing, I still love you. Because I'm love. I love you. Every mother in the room, and that I would include dads, but certainly every mother in the room knows that no matter what your child does, your child's still your child, and you're going to fight for them, scrape for them, war for them, stand for them, no matter what. You love them. They came from you. God loves us. He created you and me. So identify the snakes. That's an important part of what has to happen. Now let me talk a moment about how this can operate, how the enemy can use fear. For instance, maybe you have a fear, let's pick on single people. Maybe you've got a fear of living alone. And that fear becomes so strong that you rush into a relationship and marry someone. Not because maybe it's the right person or the right thing or the right time for you, but you've just got a fear of missing it. You know what FOMO means? F-O-M-O. You might see that in a text sometimes. It means fear of missing out. They call it FOMO. particularly in the stock market world. You know, people are chase stocks and that kind of thing. It's like, better buy now. If you don't, you're going to miss out. And most of us have made impulsive decisions like that. You know, you turn on the commercial. For the next 30 seconds, the first 100 people that dial in, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I want. Fear of missing out. It's a strategy the enemy uses all the time in our lives. The first place it occurred, in the Garden of Eden, with two perfect people, the devil working through a snake. When that snake started talking, he started lying. And he convinced them that they were missing out on something that God didn't want them to know about. You'll be as gods. God's holding out on you. And so he's been using that same old trick through the ages, the fear of missing out. I'm just going to dive in without thinking. Oh, opportunity. Well, why would he do that? Because God has this thing called the Kairos moment. In a Kairos moment, it's God saying, here's an opportunity. If you'll step into it by faith right now, I'll do something right now. I may not be doing this tomorrow. It's right now. Kairos, right? Right? That's a good thing. Why? Because if God's the one inviting you, his plans are for you are good, Romans 8:28. He's going to work something good in your life. You can trust him. He's breathing on it. His favor is on it. And what he's requiring is you to take a step of faith into what might look like uncertainty, but you're saying it looks like uncertainty, but I got something that's very certain. It's a word from God. I'm going to step out on that. And you're going to be all right. You've got a safe landing. Why? Because God's favor's on it. But the enemy, who's Mr. Copycat, Kairos moment. Ah, I'm going to create FOMO. I'm going to use that same kind of impulse, except here's the difference. It's not going to be the Holy Spirit inviting you, and there's not going to be favor on it. There's going to be deception in it. But if I can get you to take that, quote, step of faith, end quote, that I want you to take, then it'll lead to loss. It'll lead to destruction. It'll lead to heartache. And that's the way he uses fear. It may be something like the fear of not being accepted. You know that nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms. You know? And so because of the fear of not being accepted, you start hanging with the wrong crowd because they tend to accept you. Or maybe get involved in a gang. In other words, you let that fear of not being accepted cause you to hook up with people who claim to accept you, but basically it's going to bring destruction in your life because it's not something the Lord's leading you to do. It's fear leading you, not faith. Fear is the fake version of biblical faith that the enemy uses. So I hope that is making sense to you. It may be the fear of loss. Isn't it something how if you fear losing something, it can at times cause you to lose something? The fear of success. Why would anybody ever fear success? Because they believed a lie that they don't deserve anything good, that all they deserve is to be punished, that they deserve to be condemned. That if anybody really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want to be around me. And so they live with that lie. And so when success starts happening, then we can be deceived into self-sabotage. And it's the thought that things are going too good, and I know that that's not what I deserve. Something bad's about to happen. And so you'll impulsively go ahead and do something bad to get it over with. That's fear. That's deception. And the enemy works through that type of stuff. Let me move on. So, to pray, turn on the lights, identify the snakes. And then the next thing, I do need to say this, there is a spirit of fear. I'm talking about a literal demonic entity, a demon, whose mission and assignment is to wreak havoc in a person's life through fear. I am not saying if you are struggling with some kind of fear, then you must have a demon. I did not say that. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying that a person who struggles with fear and continually, perpetually yields to it can begin to open up access to their life to get to a point where they start being controlled by it, and it's like putting the hands and the reins in the devil's hands. And he will start creating a landing pad to launch his designs for your life out of your life, and there will be a need for deliverance from that. Even believers. I don't believe a demonic spirit can inhabit the spirit of a believer, but a demonic spirit can oppress, can deceive, can create strongholds in the mind, can attack the soul, not the spirit, but the soul. So you want to identify the snakes, look for those root causes, and realize that sometimes there may be a spirit of fear. Isn't it interesting that Paul, in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:7, or is it 2 Timothy? It's in Timothy 1:7. Paul tells Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. There must be one, or he went, that makes no sense. If there's not a spirit of fear that somebody can be given, there must be one, if there can be one given to somebody. So he has not given you that, Timothy. What he's given you is love, power, and sound mind. Now, isn't it? Perfect love casts out fear. I've not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you love. That's what you need to deal with, the fear. Power and a sound mind. Because what fear does is it hinders your ability to give and receive love. What fear does, it minimizes you operating in the power of God in your life, because fear is now ruling and reigning. And it also brings confusion in your mind so that you'll believe the lies. So Paul's telling Timothy, listen, that fear that tries to manifest in you, that didn't come from the Lord. What you are to operate in is love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God will give you. So there is a spirit of fear. I was recently reading a book by Pablo Battari. I had the privilege of meeting him a number of years ago at a conference in Nashville. But he traveled with a very well-known Argentine evangelist, Carlos Anacondia, who God used powerfully in the nation of Argentina. Pablo Battari originally was a Baptist deacon in a church, started having some spiritual experiences. It really started in his wife. She got blasted by the Holy Ghost, and he started getting hungry, started going to these meetings by Carlos Anacondia, and over time, he became very anointed in deliverance ministry. He's written books about it, done conferences on it. He's personally been involved a few years back with over 30,000 deliverance cases. That's a lot of deliverance ministry. He was contacted by Carlos Anacondia, and Carlos Anacondia said, I need you to come to this city, and he gave the name of the city in Argentina. He said, would you come? He said, our deliverance team has ministered to this lady. She's a psychologist, and she's the wife of an evangelical pastor. And said, our team's done everything they know to do and just not getting breakthrough. Would you possibly come help? So he's made his way, and he went up there and met with a lady, and they shared everything. They'd rebuked everything they knew to rebuke. You know, they'd come at it every angle they knew to every spirit they could think of. But they just wasn't making any headway. And Pablo Battari said, you know, through the years I've learned, particularly with believers, if you're not getting breakthrough in the area of deliverance, then there's some cause that has not been revealed. He said it will usually be a hidden hatred. You know, that's probably where bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, those kind of things. Hidden hatred, tremendous fear. The third one would be like sexual immorality, sexual bondage. The fourth one, a demonic vow that has not been broken. In other words, some vow you made through some ritual or occultic thing that basically legalizes the enemy to have access to your life. Have to be careful about that kind of stuff. You make people think, oh, that's just something fun to do, you know, pay $2, get my fortune told. Well, or you could just be holding the hand with a witch that's putting a curse on you. Just saying. Now, so he stopped and told the woman, said, there's something you have not told us that you should tell us. She was very resistant. He said, he said he felt in his spirit that this really some type of fear was what was going on. And she finally shared, she said, well, when I was 13 years of age, I went to visit my aunt and my uncle. When I arrived at their home, they were not there, but my 20-year-old cousin was there. He tried to force me into a sexual act with him. And he did touch me sexually and inappropriately. I'm trying to be as nondescript as I can here. And she said, I've never been able to get past that. Said a couple of years after it happened, my cousin was put in a mental institution. She said, but my problems continued on. And she told them this. She said, I have been married for years now. We have children. But I have never been able to have a normal, intimate relationship with my husband because of that trauma I went through. Now, you can connect the dots here. The enemy, through her cousin, had assaulted her. And through that, the fear, walls were built around her heart. She was walling off anyone that wanted to touch her. So even though she and her husband, now obviously married and had children, she finally shared, she's had these walls up and, you know, I guess she was just fulfilling an obligation. So when that came into the light, when that snake was identified, they took the truth of God's word, which is the next point. You want to learn to turn the truth loose on the torment. And began to, he had her renounce and rebuke that fear. And in just a few moments, after they had done all this prayer over this length of time, even called someone from out of town to come, she got her freedom. She collapsed into the arms of Pablo Batari's wife, who was with him ministering, and just began sobbing in her arms. And she said, I can't believe it. After all these years, I can tell that the oppression is gone. She instantly knew something had changed within her. It opened up her heart. She was free. So we have to learn to deal with these things. And see, part of what happens is you find the lies. What was the lie she had believed? I can't trust men. I can't give myself, you know. She was associating any movement of intimacy toward her with that fearful attack she had endured. Now, probably in the natural, she could look at it and say, well, that wasn't my husband that did it, but inside, internally, where fear had bound her up, she still was interpreting everything on the heart level, emotionally, through that, and it was hindering her ability to give and receive love, which is what fear does. So this turning the truth loose on the torment, because 1 John chapter 4, we saw it, fear causes torment. That word torment means punishment. It means to be filled with dread, to feel condemned, to be corrected, to be tormented. It's like those thoughts that just will not stop, that keep coming. It's like that memory, you can't hit the pause button on it. It's like when you see a certain thing or a certain someone, all this stuff is awakened. That has to be dealt with. And a good illustration to me, if you're familiar with a computer, like Word software, there is a find and replace feature. Many of you will know what that means, but basically as you type out a document and you want to go back and you want to change one word to the other. Maybe there's a word in there that says bad and you realize, no, I meant good. And so you can type in, I want you to find the word bad, And everywhere it occurs, I want you to replace it with the word good. Now, we're talking spiritually now. What you're asking the Holy Spirit to do is find the fear and replace it with faith in what God's Word says. So you find the Scripture and replace the lie with the truth. I'm a failure. I'm no good. I can't ever trust anyone again. You know, maybe it's hindering relationships, all that kind of stuff. But now what you're doing is saying, this is what I feel. I'm unacceptable. I'm a failure. I deserve to be punished. That's what I'm feeling. That's what fear wants to enslave me with. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand on the promise of the living God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not a failure. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I am an overcomer through Christ. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've done wrong stuff, but it's under the blood. My sin has been cast in the sea of forgetfulness, and now I am a child of the Most High God. You take the truth, replace the lie. And God, through that, God can even heal those memories. He can even heal the memories your body stores that reacts in certain situations. Like someone that's been abused and you touch them and they, you know, you're wanting a hug, but you get a flinch. The Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word can even change that on that level. Because in its life and in its the love of God that casts out fear. So when you get the revelation of love and you in love start looking for fear, that fear is going to have to move away. It's going to have to give up ground. It's going to have to leave your house, leave your body, because perfect love, it doesn't say might cast out fear. It says it will cast out fear. That's the answer, to get a revelation of the love of God. So trust God's perfect love to cast out the fear. Like this photo, this pic here of a heart that's covered with a hard shell. And when you get the revelation of the love and realize what's going on and how that devil's been stealing from you, trying to destroy you, trying to shut you down, trying to paralyze you, and you start all of a sudden realizing who God says you are, and you get a revelation. Wait a minute. God's God. He's a true and living God. He's in charge. He's my Father God. And He says, I'm His child. He says, I am made righteous. He says, I have qualified you. He says, I have made you worthy. He says, I unconditionally love you. I totally accept you. I fully forgive you. When you start getting that revelation, all of a sudden you start getting unkinked, untangled, all freed up. Here it is. You can live a life free of fear and full of love. And I think there's a sense in which this is a lifelong journey where we grow in this, but there are moments that come when some chains are broken or that hard shell's pulverized. You get that breakthrough moment. Like all that stuff that I was told growing up by those mean friends, or in some cases, people that were given care of you, told you you'd never amount to anything, that you're stupid, you're dumb, God made a mistake. Those things get harbored in people's minds, and they build their values in life around them. I'm no good. I can't do this. I'm not smart. I'll never be that. I don't have the appearance for it. You know, all these kind of things that limit you. But there's no limitations on God's love. And God's perfect love cast out all fear. Study this scripture. There's so much in there. And we've covered a few of those things today. And I want to invite you this morning to just open your heart to the Lord and ask Him to shine His light. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. The worship team is coming. Oh, Lord, shine Your light. I encourage you to ask Him to help you to identify any lies you believe that have created these patterns of fear in your life, any trauma that you've not been healed of that's kind of held you hostage to an event that happened in the past. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd stretch forth your mighty hand of power this morning, that you would touch people, that you would set them free, that you would liberate any and all of us from fear. And I want to pray right now specifically that there would be a baptism of the Father's love in this house this morning. Could you just hold your hands in a way as if you're receiving from the Lord? Daddy God, our Papa, Abba, Father, Almighty One, we come into your presence now by faith. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way to work in our hearts. Let's personalize it. Holy Spirit, have your way to work in my heart. Lord Jesus, you are my liberator. Father, I accept your word that while I was yet a sinner, before I was ever born, you were already loving me. Christ died for me. You don't love me based on my performance. You don't love me based on my appearance. You don't love me based on my history. You love me because you're love. And how grateful, Lord, I am for that. How grateful we are this morning. We can't buy your love. We can't earn your love. We can't perform for it. But we can receive it freely. So, Father, I ask you to stretch forth your hand this morning through your Spirit. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to come upon hearts in this room, upon lives in this room. A baptism of your love, Lord. You specialize in loving the unlovable. You specialize in pouring out love on people who struggle with thinking they deserve it. People who have failed, people who have fallen, people who have sinned, people who are a mess, people who are miserable, people who need a miracle, people who are blind and bound and lost and all kinds of conditions, yet your love comes, your love just comes to every waiting, every desiring heart. Oh, love of God, we receive you now. I receive your love, Father. Just tell him, I receive your love, Father. Maybe it's a prophetic act. Take a deep breath in. We receive your love, oh Lord. Your word says your love. Your word says you love us. Your love says you shed your love abroad in our hearts. To those of us who are believers, we receive it. Renounce any fear right now. Just rebuke it. If you know what it is, call it by name. I renounce it. I rebuke it. And in the name of Jesus, I command it to go. Just use your authority and say that. And now as your pastor, I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, be loosed. Be loosed from fear right now. May those bondages be broken. May those roots be pulled up. May healing waters wash over you. May healing oil be poured into your heart. May doors that need to be closed now in Jesus' name. May the things that need to be opened up be opened now in Jesus' name. As you've repented of your sin, be forgiven in Jesus' name. Be loosed. Be freed. Be made whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That fear of failure, that perfectionism that's underneath the fear of failure, I bind it. Be gone right now from your life in Jesus' name. That fear of messing up, don't be afraid of that. We all mess up. But bind that fear. Renounce it right now that you can do what God tells you you can do. Receive by faith what you need to be who he created you to be. Just renounce it. I say to it, be gone in Jesus' name. That fear of loving again, renounce it. You were made to give and receive love. Renounce that fear. Be loose from it. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. That fear of rejection, like the turtle that sticks his head out and it gets popped every time. Maybe you feel like that. You've been hurt so many times when you dared to stick your neck out. Oh, renounce that fear of rejection right now. You are accepted in the beloved. You're in the family as a believer. You are in. You're covered by blood. You're worthy. Be loosed from that rejection. I bind it right now. Be loosed from it. Be made whole. Receive Daddy's love right now. Deep in your heart. Be healed. Be made whole. In Jesus, whatever it is, just receive it right now. Receive the perfect, fulfilling, completing love, the powerful love, the unending love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for you, how will he not also with him freely give you all things? Receive from him this morning by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. As we stand, we're going to have prayer team members who will be up here. I believe there will be some of you that need prayer. You're invited to come now. If you're here and you've never confessed Christ as Lord of your life, come now. These people will pray with you. You can give your life to Christ today. Particularly if you need prayer for any particular fear or whatever, you come up and there will be people to pray with you. I'm about to release you. Thank you for your patience this morning. We've had a lot going on in today's service, but nothing's more important than what God wants to do in your heart right now. So give him a yes. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your way. We're going to begin to worship. You are free to linger as long as you like. You're also free to go. I hope to see all of you back at 4 p.m. Bring your lawn chairs. Bring a lot of happiness and joy to have a good time with you. We're going to have a good time of fellowship. Respect what God's doing here in the altar area, and feel free to love on one another in fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. We invite you to come now for prayer in Jesus' name as we sing. The more I see